First period on Fridays, third periods on Thursdays, fifth periods on Tuesdays. Now that we've been into the school year for a few days, you probably have a pretty good sense of what your schedule looks like. By this point, you probably have memorized the various subjects you'll be studying this semester and have a pretty good idea of when those subjects will be taught. And there are certain subjects which apply to most, if not all, students here. At Emmanuel, the classes are set up in such a way that each regular program involves the study of God's Word. And in the high school department, at least, that study is then supplemented with additional learning in areas such as language and math and music and history and science. That's not to suggest, however, that all of the subjects which you have been assigned are showing up on your class schedule. Nor is that to suggest that only the students in the assembly here this morning are to be engaged in the development of certain subjects. There are a number of areas in the realm of spiritual things in connection with which the Lord wants all of us to be learners. There is, first of all, the subject of Jesus himself. He said, "Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." There's the subject of God's mercy. He said, "Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice." There's also the subject of Christian hope. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." Then there's the subject of becoming subject. And what an amazing thing can emerge when any Christian assembly learns this lesson well. In his letter to the Ephesians, Paul wrote, "Become subject to one another in reverence for Christ." And to whom does Paul assign this subject? To every single one of us, even though not one of us by nature would sign up for this. Becoming subject to other individuals, becoming submissive to others, is never an elective to our human nature. On the contrary, our natural sinful inclination is to maintain a superior attitude toward others and to look down on other individuals. Pride is natural to the human experience and is one of those items listed in that familiar passage where Jesus said, "From within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man." The desire to serve other people with a spirit of subjectivity and submissiveness was lost when sin entered the heart. One Lutheran commentator wrote, "It is the wisdom of this world to dominate others, to stoop below others only when one is compelled to stoop." The world in which we live, and especially the society in which we now find ourselves, not only allow for self-assertiveness and aggressiveness, but hail them as being good and the only real means through which true success can be gained. But the only things that result from prideful, haughty attitudes are bitterness, anger, discord, strife. That which does not come naturally to the human heart, however, is still a possibility. The human heart can be taught to be subject to others when it witnesses and learns from the one who puts submissiveness on perfect display. Paul wrote, "Become subject to one another in reverence for Christ." The one who sits on heaven's highest throne stooped to the very lowest possible degree in order to serve us. "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ," Paul wrote, "that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich." Jesus was the straight-A student, also in the subject of subjecting oneself, always doing what his will, what his father's will directed him to do, always doing that which served the best interest of others. Even though we were his creatures, even though we were his rebellious creatures, even though we were his rebellious creatures who wanted absolutely nothing to do with him, he came to serve and to save. Subjecting ourselves to one another, serving one another, these we are to learn to put in practice in our dealings with one another, regardless of who we or others might be. It is true that the Lord gives some very specific directives regarding being subject to the various members of a household. In Ephesians, Paul wrote, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord." He added, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." And bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters as to Christ. But serving as a type of large umbrella over all of these specific directives is this overarching directive addressed to all of God's people. Become subject to one another in reverence for Christ. Even those who are in positions of authority are to become subject within the Christian community. The same commentator wrote, "No rivalry, no self-exaltation, no divisive pride is to interfere. Rich and poor, learned and simple, high and low are to be one. And that is accomplished by subjecting themselves to each other in Christ's fear, not in false humility or humility or the like. None is to subject another. Each is to subject himself voluntarily, freely. This is to be mutual, reciprocal, all around. What a wise thing, and how fine when none lords it over another, when each serves the other." And another Christian scholar points out how this theme really does run through various epistles. Christians, he said, should not be self-assertive, each insisting on getting his or her own way. As the Philippian believers are told, they should be humble enough to count others better than themselves and put the interests of others before their own, following the example of Christ. And later, out of reverence for their Lord, who set such a precedent, his followers should place themselves at one another's disposal, living so that their forbearance is a matter of public knowledge, even when others are encouraged on this account to take advantage of them. Even those who fill positions of responsibility and honor in the Christian community, to whom their fellow believers are urged to render submission and loving respect, earn such recognition by being servants, not lords. First periods on Fridays, third periods on Thursdays, fifth periods on Tuesdays, and during every period of our life, we are to be mindful of the important subject of subjecting oneself to others out of reverence for Christ. Imagine the positive impact on a campus such as this when such a lesson is well learned. How wonderfully the suppression of self-assertion can lead to serenity, how the removal of haughtiness can lead to communal happiness, and how the banishment of pride can lead to peace. We sing of serving our neighbor in the form of hymn 377, the last two verses, stanzas 9 and 10 of 377.
God that saved us. thy saving love, thy blessing.